Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19, as we are going to just take a brief time here to look at what took place on Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19. As you're turning there, as I shared with the children in the children's message, it was a tradition, if you will, for any great king of this day to have a great horse and to ride into the cities with great pomp and circumstance, and just to put on a show of great victory. And these kings would come in, and the people would gather around and just be excited and exalt their king. In Jesus' life and ministry, it began and with very humble means. We all are very familiar with the Christmas story, how Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. She laid him in a manger with hay as his bedding. And that's where our Savior, his life began. Some 30 years later, Jesus came on the public scene. John the Baptist, having gone before him, Jesus comes and seeks to be baptized, and John the Baptist, recognizing the Savior, saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus says, "Baptize me," and John the Baptist, reluctant, yet he does. Jesus Christ, he's driven out into the wilderness, and he is tempted. He is out there, he's tempted by the devil. After showing great victory in the use and skill of the Scriptures, as only God can do in an amazing way, Satan is conquered foe in the face of the powerful Word of God. And Jesus comes on the public scene, and he opens up his ministry. And what we see here, and I'll just read this for you, as he began his ministry, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So this is how the ministry began. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! And of course, Jesus ministering to his own Jewish people this message of repentance. And repent, why? Because the kingdom of heaven, it's near. It is that concept of a kingdom that I believe God wants to drive home into our hearts today. This concept of a kingdom. If you have a kingdom, it means that you have a king. And if you have a kingdom, and if you have a king, it means that you have subjects of the king. Now, just in case you are guessing where you might fit into all of that, you and I were subjects of the king. In Luke chapter 19, I'd like to read this account for us together and then just make a few observations for us. In Luke chapter 19, picking up the story in verse 29, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go you into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Today, God wants us to see Jesus as King, to see Jesus as Lord. I want you to take notice here that this whole event and everything that surrounds it is all about Jesus and who he is. I want you to see that this moment belonged to Jesus. This very moment, this very time belonged to our Lord and Savior, to our King. Well, why is that? Well, the prophet Zechariah issued a prophecy about this very event taking place. Does the Lord Jesus know that prophecy? Absolutely. He understood that, and he understood that this very moment was the time when the very prophet Zechariah spoke of. There will come this time when he will ride in to the city on a donkey. And this very moment belonged to the Lord Jesus. Not only did the moment belong to him, but the donkey belonged to him. You know, those donkeys get a bad rap, but they are very good, sturdy animals. They are known for being sure-footed. But I want you to take note of this story, and this is, when I study the Word of God, I've told you this before, I ask questions, I'm curious. Don't you ever wonder what these two disciples were thinking as they walked into the town? And Jesus had just told them, "Go in and take a donkey. You're going to find it in there. Just take it. Just take it and bring it to me." Now, in my mind, my curious mind, I'm thinking this. All right, now, Jesus tells these two disciples, and it doesn't say who they are. I think that's interesting. But he doesn't say who they are. But he says, "Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in you find a colt tied, wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." You notice what's missing here? There's no issue, no command to ask for permission. There's no idea here. Okay, go in, knock on the door, and say, "I see you guys have this colt out here. Can we borrow it for a while?" No, we don't see that. Dear ones, it struck me. You know what? Not only did this moment belong to the King, but the donkey belongs to the King. It's his donkey. And Jesus, remember, knowing all things and knowing how everything is going to work out anyway, the poor disciples, they don't have a clue. They just obey the King. And so they obey the King. They walk in, and what's it say here? Well, first of all, before we get there, Jesus did say this. He says, "And if any man ask you..." Now, Jesus knew somebody was going to ask, but the disciples didn't know that. But Jesus did give them this kind of reassurance, if you could call it that. Because if I were to see somebody out in my yard taking my car out of my driveway, I would say, "Whoa, what are you doing with my car? The Lord has need of it." What Lord? So Jesus gives them this statement. "Say this, because the Lord hath need of him." We read that four-letter word, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, so often in the Scriptures that sometimes I think it loses its power. Do you realize that Lord, kurios in the Greek language, is a word, maybe we would better understand it as master. It's an idea and a concept of ownership. And Jesus says, you tell them when they ask of you, because the Lord hath need of them. All right, so here's these two disciples. They've received their instruction. It's very clear they are to go in. And as soon as they go in, they find a colt. And this colt must have been prancing around, must have been a little excited, probably young, never been ridden before. So they go in. Verse 32, they were sent their way, they found even as Jesus said it. Verse 33, as they were loosing the colt. Uh-oh, here we go. It's going to happen. They're loosing, I mean, come on, think about this. You've got these two guys, and they're looking over their shoulder like, all right, we're doing what he told us to do. All right, we're doing what he told us to do. They're loosing the colt. Oh, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. What are we supposed to say again? All right. Hey, guys, what are you doing? Why are you taking the colt? Here we go. Because the Lord hath need of him. It might have been as silent as that. But what takes place? Because the Lord hath need of him, they say. They obey the king, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus. You know what takes place? In this text, it doesn't say it, but in other texts, it says the owners, they released him. They said, there you go. No problems. They weren't thrown in jail for stealing. You know what? This only makes sense if we understand that this moment belongs to the king. This all has to happen because Jesus is the king. And it makes sense because the donkey belongs to the king. It makes sense because nobody puts up a fuss. Nobody fights about whose donkey this is. The disciples obey. They trust their king. They say what their king says to say. And the donkey comes with them. You're familiar with how a kingdom works, aren't you? In a kingdom, the king rules and reigns. In a kingdom, the king is the sovereign. In a kingdom, your car is the king's car. And if the king wants your car to do something with, he takes your car. It doesn't quite work like that in America, but man, we may be getting there. But listen, with Jesus as our king, that's how we're to be living all along. Our money, it's really his money. Our car, it's really his car. This home, it's really his. This building, it's his building. Because he's the king. So the moment belonged to the king, because the king Jesus, because it had been set by God to happen. The donkey belongs to the king. Not only because it came and nobody put up a fuss, but because Jesus was even able to ride it. I grew up with wanting a horse, and finally I was able to have a horse when I was 12 years old. I didn't get a tame horse. I got a Mustang from out west. Just a yearling. And so a broken arm, and my dad separated his shoulder later, you know, we finally were able to ride this thing. You know, I'm familiar with how a wild animal operates. Try to sit on his back. It's not real exciting for a while. Well, wait a minute. It is really exciting for a while, but a little dangerous. Donkey belonged to him. He rode on that thing. No problems. Palm branches waving everywhere, clothes flying, clothes on his back, And Jesus shows power. He was king. And I want you to notice something, that not only is he king over these people, but he's king over the animals and the nature. No king can exhibit that authority and power except it be for God. So the moment belongs to him, the donkey belonged to him, but finally the praise belongs to him. The praise. You look at our text today, all those dear Pharisees, they're trying to control their people. They're trying to make sure things don't get out of hand. And so they say, listen. They call him, Master, listen. Rebuke your disciples. They're making an uproar. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Do you catch the gravity of such a statement? I mean, we could easily dismiss that as saying that, oh, Jesus, he's just saying a phrase. No. What Jesus says here speaks great power and authority, meaning the praise belonged to him. That day, all of that glory and praise, it was due him. He knew it. He was claiming it for himself. That's what a king does. The people were praising him and lifting him up. If they would have been quiet, Jesus says, even the very stone would have rattled and spoken forth praise unto God himself. The moment belongs to him. The donkey belonged to him. The praise belonged to him. Jesus is our King, church. He is our King. He is our Lord. You know, when many times we focus on Jesus as our Savior, and rightly so. That's good. It's right. We are who we are because of the deliverance of our Savior. But I want to tell you that Jesus is more than our Savior. He is our Lord and he is our King. And we are to be operating as subjects of a King. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 17, and man, there's some powerful passages in here, but listen to Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, he will have on his vesture, Revelation 19, 16, and on his thigh a name written. And what is that name? King of kings and Lord of lords. Dear ones, as we begin this week, this is a week in preparation of Resurrection Day where we celebrate the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, he died, but then he rose again. And so therefore, what says in Revelation, talking about a Lamb, it's talking about our living Savior, about the King that rode into town that day, about the King where the moment belonged to him. The donkey belonged to him. The praise belonged to him. Our King, our Savior, the Lamb of God.